This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It's good to have you with us as we talk to the candidates for the 85th legislative seat in Pennsylvania. This is a seat being held currently by David Rowe, a Republican. He's in his third term there, and he's being challenged by Democrat Nick Jacobson. We sat down with both to give you a picture of the candidates.
Yeah, so I'm Nick Jacobson. I'm the Democratic nominee for the 85th House District, which is Snyder County and then a little Union, Mifflin, and Juniata. I was born in Snyder County in Monroe Township off of Park Road, then moved into Sealands Grove and eventually up to Winfield. So I graduated from Lewisburg High School in 2019 and then Yale University in 2023. I think I was the first person from Lewisburg to go to Yale. I worked when I was in school at the Department of Health and at the Auditor General's down in Harrisburg and felt like, you know, I really got to see what a difference it makes for an area like ours to have a seat at the table down there. I think there's plenty of, you know, spitball contests that go on down in Harrisburg, but I think there's also a lot of decisions getting made every day that have the biggest impact on the area, and they're not the ones in the headlines, but I think when we think about not just tomorrow or the day after, but next year, 10 years, 20 years from now, what's going to make a difference? Those are the issues that I think we could benefit from some leadership on in Harrisburg. You know, for me, that's public education, that's broadband, internet, that's basic infrastructure services. You know, that's, I think, what's going to set us up for a great future. And those are the things that I care about and more want to work on.
And I feel like there's always a different set of issues if I talk to a state legislature candidate or from Washington. Kind of different things you're really dealing with every day. But now sometimes they overlap, like with the abortion situation now.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say there's no more hotly contested issue than abortion, no more kind of serious issue that people have really strong feelings about in the district. And I respect everybody's beliefs, you know, and personally, for me, I think that the government, we just cannot have the government telling people how to get health care and what to do with their bodies. I think the stories that we've seen across the country of these draconian laws just end up in more people getting hurt and more people dying. You know, that's women, that's children. I certainly would vote to protect people's rights to their own bodily autonomy. Now, I say that, but I also think, even if we don't agree on this issue, the reality is we've got a divided legislature in Harrisburg. We've got a Democratic governor for at least the next 2 years, which is the term that I'm asking for. And I think that we shouldn't let divisions on abortion distract us from the real things that we could do for families, for children, and for mothers. We've got a maternal health care crisis in our district, in Juniata County. We're talking no accessible maternal health care available in the surrounding area. People are having to drive long distances. Snyder County, of course, there isn't a hospital in the county. And when we think about, you know, what does it actually take to support a mother, to support a young kid? Those are the things that I think we can make a ton of progress on in a bipartisan manner to provide more care for women and then after birth to make sure that people have good childcare and get good access to giving their kids the best shot at life, which I think we all want.
I think people have a different definition of pro-life. Do you find that discrepancy to be frustrating?
You know, I think in general, I try and pay less attention to the political rhetoric and more attention to the actual issues at stake. You know, I think people conceptualize themselves in all kinds of ways, and I respect everybody's right to, you know, use the language that they want to. For me, it's at the end of the day not about the language. It's about what are we actually doing for families? What are we actually doing for mothers and for young kids? And, you know, that's what I think the focus should be on, whatever the language is.
In your campaign so far, have you found that people approach you about those types of issues, or they really are saying, hey, I care about this or that, or education or jobs for our area?
I would say the overwhelming majority of people talk to me about their families and talk to me about the future. I think people are feeling the cost of living going up. I think people are thinking a lot about what are our young people going to do? Are they going to stay in the area? Are we going to continue to lose people? I mean, we've had brain drain in the area. We have an aging population. And so I think people are really thinking not about the ridiculous headlines that go on, or if they are, it's with frustration. But when it comes to the actual issues, I think everybody is sitting around the kitchen table and going, all right, so what do our lives look like? How are we going to keep going? How can we make this place a better place for the future? You know, for our kids, for somebody else's kids, for, you know, just future generations. And that's been very heartening for me, because I think that there's a lot that we can do in Harrisburg right now, a lot that is getting done in other parts of Pennsylvania with representatives who are putting politics to the side and focusing on the future that we could be doing here for our area.
I know in my own case, I've done these interviews for 35 years, and but since I had a child, you look at it totally different, because I'm not thinking of my future. I feel like I'm wrapping life up here, but my 18-year-old has disabilities, and there's so much to, I got to think about her future.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the strangest experiences for me in the campaign has been, though I don't have kids yet, I imagine all the time, you know, what kind of world are my kids going to grow up in, and are they going to be able to get a good education, and are they going to be able to start a business like my dad runs, you know, online? He's got his own online business, and that's, I think, increasingly going to be a huge economic potential. You know, are my kids going to grow up in this beautiful area? I mean, just with farmland and forest and a really vibrant outdoor community, you know, those are the things that I think about. And I think the decisions that we're making right now, where are we getting broadband access? What roads and bridges are we repairing? How much are we investing in future teachers and nurses and volunteer firefighters? And how much are we encouraging people to come back to the area to build their lives here? That's what we're going to look at. That's what my kids and my grandkids are going to look back on and say, okay, what did you guys do back then? They're not going to remember the, you know, the ridiculous headlines that we see these days. They're going to remember whether this was a place that we kept what we love and we made it so that you can continue to build your life here.
The concept of a Democrat running in this district is tough for any, you know, it always seems to be the same percentage. How do you climb past that to say, here are additional reasons that I would be the one to be serving you better?
I mean, I'm proud to be a Democrat. You know, I think of myself as a Democrats, the party of the working people. And that's what it ought to be. And, you know, sometimes we get away from that, but I think that really is the heart and soul of the Democratic Party. And for me, that is, you know, that's our local schools. That is, when you get older, you shouldn't be on your own. We shouldn't have older residents without homes. We shouldn't have veterans dying by suicide. You know, that's the kind of party that I love, that I believe in, and that I think we can stand up for. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to Harrisburg to be a Democrat. I'm going to Harrisburg to be a representative. And I think it's on a representative to be having the conversations with all of their constituents, whether they are Democrats, Republicans, Independents, whether they agree with me on everything, which, I mean, of course, nobody agrees with me on everything. I probably don't agree with me on everything. Or agree with me on almost nothing. You've got to be having the conversations. I'm felt very fortunate to have gone to, I don't even know how many, hundreds, maybe thousands of doors in this campaign, and talked to people on their doorsteps without regard to what letter they had next to their name, and listened to what was going on and what we could do to make this place better. That's what I think a representative does, and that's fully what I intend to do.
Does that polarization from the federal levels, you know, trickle down to your level when you're campaigning, or do you find people take a different approach to a state representative running?
I haven't met anybody who isn't tired of the polarization of politics. I mean, you know, to anybody listening, I mean, if you are not tired of the polarization of politics, you can call me up and let me know. But I think you're probably in the minority here. I think it's just ridiculous. I think partisanship is mostly an excuse for laziness. What other job in the whole world could you ever have? You know, if you worked at Standard Steel out in Burnham and your boss said to you, hey, Nick, why didn't you do anything today? Well, no, boss, it's not me. It's those, it's those other people on the other side of the plant. They're the ones who aren't doing anything. I mean, you'd be fired. I'd be fired. I ought to be fired. I don't think we ought to hold our representatives to the same standard of accountability. Don't tell me who to blame. Don't tell me whose fault it is it didn't get done. Just get it done. And if you're not the right person, then we got 60,000 people to pick from in the 85th district, and somebody ought to be able to do the job.
And how far back does the desire or the thought of running go for you? Is this something like 10 years ago I would have found you as a teenager with political aspirations? Or?
You know, when I was growing up, my parents always felt it was very important that my sister and I were involved in family conversations at the dinner table about what was going on in the world. I mean, my family, like basically all Americans, were immigrants, and they came to America because people wanted to kill them where they were living. You know, they weren't welcome anymore, in Russia and Germany and Eastern Europe, all over the place. And they came to America because they thought this was the kind of place that you could maybe build your own life and start your family and take care of yourself and pursue that kind of life that we all want for ourselves and our kids. And so it's always been, instilled in me that you have to pay attention to what's going on and you have to contribute to your community, because we don't get it done waiting for somebody else to go do it. So that's always been a part of me. But I think, for me, really, it was working in Harrisburg that crystallized the importance of having real representation down there. Because I think you hear a lot of nothing gets done, particularly nothing gets done for the central part of Pennsylvania, and the attention isn't here, and the resources aren't here. And I think the reality is, yes, oftentimes we're not top of the list. Oftentimes there's other people with more money and more connections who are lobbying hard for their areas. But it's also true that when you got a squeaky wheel down there who is going to work every day, not to tell you who's wrong or to tell you whose fault it is, but to get it done, things make a difference. Just this summer, Pennsylvania spent $200 million building broadband across the Commonwealth. That's money that was originally authorized by President Trump in his last year in office, and that has now worked its way down into the state. 42 counties in Pennsylvania got funding. I mean, that's not just Philly and Pittsburgh, right? That's 42 of our 67 counties. And of those 42, Snyder County was not one, Mifflin County was not one, Union County was not one, and Juniata County got one project. So when we're talking about what's actually happening in Pennsylvania versus what's actually happening in the 85th district, I think we could have a lot better representation.
That wraps up our interview with Nick Jacobson, the Democratic candidate for the 85th legislative seat in Harrisburg. We're going to move on now to the Republican incumbent, David Rowe, who is seeking a fourth term in this seat. Can we begin with an introduction of yourself? Tell us a bit about you, your history in the political arena in general, but, of course, including your time in the 85th district seat.
So I grew up in Mifflinburg in Union County. I've lived in this area pretty much my entire life. I spent several years working overseas as an educator, working with some Christian mission organizations in Southeast Asia. We worked specifically with areas that couldn't afford teachers, so they sent over volunteer teachers like me to kind of help close that educational gap in those rural Southeast Asian communities. During that time, I learned a lot about how grateful we should be to live in a country as great as America, and that's part of what spurned my motivation to run in the first place, because I realized that what we have in America is an amazing thing, and that if we lose that, there's not really a place to go left in the world that's as great as America is. When I came back from Southeast Asia, I worked with my brother. We started a business that we ran together for over a decade and only recently sold a few years ago. And I was able to serve as a township supervisor, a police commissioner on the board of directors for the fire company. And all of those positions, I was able to advocate for the principles of the 85th District through fiscal responsibility, through personal freedom. My township, we were able to leave the township in such a strong fiscal position that the township was able to pass two tax cuts and a tax rebate. And that's the same sort of fiscal responsibility, common sense restraint that I wanted to take to Harrisburg. And that was why I ran to be state representative for the 85th District.
All right. And you're in your third term now and we're running for a fourth. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yep. I was first elected in a special election in 2019 to replace outgoing Representative Fred Keller, who went on to Congress.
Now, over the years, as I've talked with elected officials, it seems like the higher in government we go, the more polarized it becomes. You know, county officials act like they don't know each other's party sometimes, but then as it goes higher. Have you seen that as a problem? Is that polarization of the country as a whole impacting progress we could make?
Well, but I always tell children when they come to the Capitol with school tours or anything like that, I always tell them that the media loves to portray the most divisive issues because that's how they get traffic. But I tell the kids that come to the Capitol, the 90% of the vitriolic airtime that is consumed by the media actually only represents about 10% of the issues that we all disagree on. 90% of the votes we take in Harrisburg tend to be unanimous because most of the topics end up being consensus issues. Now, there are certainly issues that we do not compromise on, issues that are absolutely considered divisive, issues like defending the Second Amendment, issues like defending the right to life. Those rights are under constant assault by progressives in Harrisburg, and those are issues that I will not compromise on. But there are certainly areas for bipartisanship and working together. One example of that is a bill that I was able to author with a Representative Tariq Khan. Representative Khan is a Democrat. I am obviously a Republican. And we were able to work together to get House Bill 2339 across the finish line in the House, and it's currently awaiting consideration in the Senate. And House Bill 2339 would bring comprehensive transparency to hospital pricing so that consumers will know what they're able to pay when they are going to receive medical treatment. It puts the consumers back in control of their health care, and it'll help address skyrocketing health care costs. House Bill 2339, which passed the House of Representatives with broad bipartisan support, and House Bill 2339 would bring comprehensive transparency to hospital pricing, where currently hospitals have no requirement in Pennsylvania to disclose pricing, and there's no avenue for patients to pursue if they are overcharged for a service that they were initially quoted a different amount for. So House Bill 2339 will bring comprehensive transparency to the healthcare industry, and it will give patients the ability to be back in the driver's seat so they can make decisions for their best interest. They can make the decisions about their healthcare, and it'll help bring down skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs by bringing an open, competitive market back to the healthcare industry.
Okay. And in campaigning, do you see that when you, if you go door to door, do you get people that kind of say, get off my property, or do you get kind of an openness to learn, or mixed bag?
I think out of several thousands and thousands of doors that I've done over the years, I've only had two people ask me to get off their property. And one of those people ended up calling me back and apologizing because he thought I was a door-to-door salesman. And he apologized and asked for one of my yard signs to put out. So after over 10,000 doors, having only two people ask me to step off their property, and one of them turned around and actually became a very good friend, it just goes to show how open and willing most people are to engage in dialogue.
When a candidate comes to your door, I mean, it really I'm sure that's like the perfect way to connect. I mean, you sign on a yard is nice for, visibility, but do you find that person-to-person thing really is where the votes come in?
Well, absolutely. I think it demonstrates to people that when you are willing to take the time to come to where they are to talk about their issues, it demonstrates that you care about making sure you represent them well. That's what I always tell individuals when I'm going door to door, when I go to events in the district. I always tell people, I am your voice in Harrisburg. I am your representative. And in order to do that, I need to understand your issues. I need to know you all better. So that's why every single week I'm somewhere in the district meeting with someone, going to community events here and there and everywhere, making sure that I know the people of the 85th district as well as I can so I can represent them the best that I can.
Okay. In your next term, if you were to be reelected, what are some of the major things you'd like to either, you know, introduce yourself or at least see making progress?
Well, I would like to see some common sense fiscal restraint restored to Harrisburg. Everybody in Pennsylvania is struggling with skyrocketing inflation costs, utilities that are through the roof. It's become harder and harder every single day just to live in Pennsylvania. And that's why Pennsylvania has lost an electoral college seat, lost a congressional seat every single decade during every single census for the last 100 years. We continue to become older, smaller, and poorer as people leave the state for states like North Carolina, Florida, Texas, states where economic freedom and opportunities abound. I would like to see that brought back here to Pennsylvania. I don't want people to have to leave Pennsylvania to go visit their grandkids in Florida and North Carolina. I want people to stay here, and I want people to raise their children here, and I want their grandkids and their great-grandkids to all stay in Pennsylvania. And that starts with restoring financial sanity to Harrisburg. The last budget, which I voted against, overspent by $3 billion and will leave Pennsylvania on a path to fiscal insolvency in the next 2 years, leading to either massive spending cuts or massive tax increases. And by restoring that fiscal sanity to Harrisburg, passing things like common sense permitting reform and making Pennsylvania a business-friendly state once again, we will be able to give people a reason to stay here instead of leaving.
In 30 seconds, just tell me what you'd tell somebody that says, you know, we don't agree on all the issues. I can't decide between the candidates. How do you sell David Rowe to that person?
Well, I think Ronald Reagan taught us well when he said somebody who's 80% your friend is not 20% your enemy. There are several people with whom I don't agree 100% on everything, but everybody knows that I will be a tireless advocate for the 85th District. My phone is always on. My emails are always answered. I have a great team in my different district offices across the Commonwealth that will always be available to address any state-related issue anybody needs at any time.
And that concludes today's program, an interview with David Rowe, the 85th Legislative District incumbent, a Republican, and Democratic challenger, Nick Jacobson. We appreciate you both joining us on the WPGM Community Forum, and we thank you, the listener, for tuning in. This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the Community Forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.